Welcome to the University of Michigan Press podcast, featuring interviews with University of Michigan Press authors. New Wave emerged at the turn of the 1980s as a pop music movement cast in the image of punk rock's sneering demeanor, yet rendered more accessible and sophisticated. Artists such as The Cars, Devo, The Talking Heads, and The Human League leapt into the top 40 with a novel sound that broke with the staid rock cliches of the 1970s and pointed the way to a more modern pop style. In Are We Not New Wave, Theo Kataforis provides the first musical and cultural history of the New Wave movement, charting its rise out of mid-1970s punk to its ubiquitous early 1980s MTV presence and downfall in the mid-1980s. The book also explores the meanings behind the music's distinctive traits, its characteristic whiteness and nervousness, its playful irony, electronic melodies, and crossover experimentations. Theo Kataforis is assistant professor of music history and cultures in the fine arts department at Syracuse University. His research is in the areas of American music, popular music studies, and 20th century art music. He was editor of the anthology, The Rock History Reader. Hello, Theo.
Hello.
So, what were the forces that led to the rise of New Wave?
Well, New Wave was a term that originally circulated, was synonymous with punk rock, and I think there's much more knowledge about the rise of punk rock in the mid-1970s at that time that New Wave was part of. We tend to think of punk rock as a style that was very much in opposition to, say, progressive rock groups like Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Pink Floyd that were really viewed as these kind of bombastic creations that, you know, had led rock music astray. So both New Wave and punk at that time in the mid-70s were very much seen as a reaction. Now, the problem with punk, at least for the media, was that groups like the Sex Pistols and especially their fans were viewed very much as these kind of violent, unruly groups. And especially in the United States, they said, you know, this is going to be very difficult to try and market these bands. So at the same time in the mid-70s, a number of groups such as the Police and Elvis Costello and the Attractions and Squeeze, they soon emerged who, I mean, they quite clearly had the energy and some of the attitude that was associated with punk, but at the same time, they were much more accessible and sophisticated in terms of their songwriting, and they were much more radio-friendly. So before long, these are the groups that kind of took over the label of New Wave. Basically, they were groups that were seen as more commercialized, as having more of a kind of realistic, you know, market in the United States. And really, that division between punk and new wave has remained ever since. I mean, both of them, both punk and new wave, were definitely reactions in the 1970s, but it was new wave that was eventually the style that had the more commercial accessibility.
Okay, so let's back up a tick and just say, what defines new wave?
Well, you know, this was one of the most difficult things to really grapple with when I started this project. And, I mean, part of the problem is that New Wave encompasses really divergent styles. I mean, you have groups like The Knack, for example, that are playing, you know, really this kind of retro 60s power pop. And then you have, like, synthesizer artists like Gary Numan, you know, have this much more kind of futuristic style and sensibility. So to me, when I was looking for a thread that could tie all of this together, I really saw that, you know, both these groups and other new wave artists were being marketed as modern pop music. So what does it mean to be modern? I mean, it's kind of a complex idea. On the one hand, I mean, the idea of being modern can be tied to things like, you know, a fashion sensibility. So like the skinny tie style or retro 60s mod fashions, these, you know, things that became quite common in New Wave were seen as modern. But on the other hand, you could have a group like the Talking Heads, who were using very kind of minimalist arrangements and synthesizers and drawing music from like African popular music to create albums like Remain in Light. And this was seen as modern as well. And then even beyond that, you know, the association of New Wave with music videos, groups like Devo or Duran Duran, with these very kind of bizarre and innovative and even cinematic types of videos, that was seen as modern. So really, when I think of defining New Wave, I see the idea of the modern and the kind of multiplicity of what it can mean to be modern as the kind of core thread that unites all of these rather disparate New Wave bands.
What made New Wave, you know, a significant musical movement?
At the time, and again, you have to remember this is the mid to late 1970s, one of the things that really made New Wave strikingly different was that this was upbeat, dance-inspired music. And, you know, when we think of dance music in the 1970s, we don't necessarily think of rock bands. I mean, we think of disco. You know, this is the era of Saturday Night Live and the Bee Gees. And the rock groups at that time, and this is getting back again to the idea of progressive rock and stadium, you know, rock bands, they weren't playing dance music. You know, this was very much kind of post-psychedelic, post-hippie music, music for listening, music to kind of overwhelm you. So one of the things that made New Wave significant is that it started drawing on dance-related styles. I mean, New Wave bands were incorporating disco and funk and reggae and ska, as well as old-time rock and roll and rockabilly. And I think part of New Wave's significance was that it really returned the idea of dance, of like, you know, really fast, up-tempo music to rock. And at the same time, I mean, you know, these reference points could extend back into groups like the Beatles and the Who. And part of the significance of New Wave as well was that this was music that looked back towards rock's past. So again, in the 1970s, I think, you know, what New Wave bands contributed was a return to the style of the British Invasion, of groups like the Beatles and the Who and the kind of mod subculture. This was really a way for them to kind of escape that sound of the 1970s, of the kind of hard rock and stadium and arena rock style of the 70s. So by looking backwards, either ironically or faithfully, this was one way in which New Wave made a very significant contribution to rock culture at that time.
So what's the legacy?
You know, New Wave's legacy, I think, can be measured in a number of different ways. On the one hand, I mean, if we look at developments like, say, over the past 10 years, there have been a number of bands from the Strokes to Hot Hot Heat and the Killers, I mean, rock bands who very much have drawn on an older New Wave sound. And, you know, part of it is that they're playing a very stripped back style with, again, a kind of upbeat dance sense. And sometimes it might be like a slightly irreverent or slightly rebellious attitude that links together these bands. So there's those groups who very much have, I think, you know, introduced New Wave to newer generations, newer audiences. On the other hand, I think one of the things that's more surprising that people often miss is the number of Disney artists who have a very strong New Wave style. I mean, I think of Miley Cyrus and her Hannah Montana recordings. If you go through those CDs and her singles, I mean, there's lots of music that really, you know, if it were released 20 years earlier or 25 years earlier, that would have been like a power pop single, you know, straight out of the heart of the New Wave era. So Disney, of all places, has picked up on New Wave. But I think for a lot of people, really the strongest legacy for New Wave is through its association with the synthesizer. And again, we think of artists like Gary Numan and Soft Cell and the Human League and Thomas Dolby. So when they introduced the synthesizer to a really kind of mainstream pop sound back in the early 80s, it was very much a novel and futuristic sensibility that they were incorporating into the music. And, you know, in the decades since then, as we've gone through the 90s and into the new millennium, I mean, popular music as a whole has become more and more synthesized. And I think because of that, it's just a natural fit for a lot of hip-hop and R&B artists to sample 80s synth-pop, 80s synth, you know, new wave music. And so for a lot of people, this really is New Wave's strongest legacy. I mean, they can hear groups like Soft Cell, you know, basically being revised through recording artists like Rihanna, who takes the song Tainted Love for her single SOS. So there's plenty of examples of that, which I think for many people have kind of strengthened this idea that New Wave was an 80s style, it was synthesizer-based, and it's, you know, constantly recurring in the popular music around them.
How is New Wave regarded today?
Well, on the one hand, my temptation is to say that it's not, you know, regarded highly enough, because if it were, then there wouldn't have been a need for me to write this book in the first place. I mean, really, the first book, Critical Study of New Wave. But when I step back and kind of look at the critical reception of many New Wave bands over the years, I think one can say that it is actually highly regarded. I mean, the most obvious example would be an institution like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which has inducted the Talking Heads, the Pretenders, Blondie, the Police, Elvis Costello. I mean, the fact that they, you know, are all in that rather prestigious canon is certainly a sign that, you know, people have taken them seriously over the years and have also, you know, paid attention to their impact and to their influences on other artists. Beyond that, I mean, I think the synth pop bands, the ones who were really the kind of second wave of the new wave in the early 80s, groups like the Human League and Depeche Mode and Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, they have also, I think, acquired a certain canonical status And largely through their connection to things like electronic dance music, house music, anything basically using drum machines and synthesizers as its basis. And, you know, you can find that influence ranging in groups from the Postal Service to Rihanna, to Lady Gaga. In that respect, I think New Wave is seen as a strong part of the pop music canon, and it's one, you know, that's like 30 years going strong at this point. And given the trends, you know, popular music right now for really synthesized music, I think New Wave is going to be, you know, regarded even more highly in the years to come, or at least that's my hope.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
We have been speaking to Theo Kataforis, author of Are We Not New Wave? Modern Pop at the Turn of the 1980s. To learn more about our books, visit us on the web at press.umich.edu. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Michigan Press, all rights reserved.